Hi everyone, welcome to a solo ep with me. This is Parenthood Uncut. So for these episodes, they're pretty raw as they can be, really. We don't get them edited. So I basically just give you thoughts of mine, and I like interacting with you all in this way. I just haven't had a minute to do a solo ep this year. So it's great to be able to, touch base now. Basically, you would have seen from previous episodes that I've had a fair bit on this year as far as actually moving house. So we finally found our, I guess, dream home, or certainly the home that will be our home probably for primary school years for the kiddos. And that was great. I underestimated how much work goes into moving. I actually remember when we did move on the moving day, we actually moved on a Thursday, so the kids were at school. And then Friday, I remember I was here on my own and all the boxes and everything were in the house. And I looked around, and by Friday night, we'd popped some champagne, hubby and I, and I was feeling really good. I was like, oh, we're basically in. Like, this is great, you know, really can just start celebrating. I think at one point I texted a friend saying, you should just pop around tomorrow, you know, being a Saturday. Why not? You know, we're basically there. And then on Saturday morning, I woke up and I looked around at the mess that was my house, and I went, oh boy, we are not even half of the way there. I certainly jumped the gun on that invite to my friend, because I don't know, I hear of people who are happy to take their time when they move into places and, you know, live in the mess. I cannot do that. My head is already messy as it is with a million thoughts in every second of the day that I just cannot. My external environment has to be really kind of as clean as possible. Things need to be in a place. I'm one of those people that if I notice the pillow is sort of in the wrong angle on the bed, I'll walk up and I'll shift it so it's the right angle. Otherwise, it just drives me nuts. I'm that person. So you can imagine me staring at all of these things which are looking for a home, you know, in our cupboards, etc. And I was just kind of like, I feel so disgusting right now. Can someone please come and do this for me? But also, even if we did have packers to, you know, pack everything in shelves, I still would know that I would want to know where everything is going to go. So you still want to make those decisions, or I certainly do. So, you know, doing the kitchen, for example, identifying where you want your saucepans to go versus where you want your plates. Like, there's just so many things that when I actually, we bought our first house that we were living in South Yarra. And when I moved into that one, I literally moved from my parents to that home. So I had to buy everything brand new. So I didn't really experience, I guess, the feeling of chaotic items that you've had forever and needing to find them all a home, as well as all the new items. Like, we had new pieces of furniture and things like this for this home as well. So this is really the first time in my life where, and certainly the first time when I've been moving with children, that I'd sort of experienced the layer of chaos that can provide. So yes, it was, it certainly took us a couple of weeks. Actually, every other weekend I felt like we were hustling, just trying to get things sorted. We got, you know, did a few minor tweaks to the home, you know, had the big paint job done prior to moving in, which was amazing. Certainly would recommend that to anyone who is considering a new home and you're thinking about a paint job. Do yourself a favor and do it up front if you can, because I didn't even, I mean, I work in construction, but I didn't appreciate how much mess paint can make, like all the sanding back and the, you know, just the stuff on the floor and the dust and all of that. It was so very grateful to have done that prior to actually moving into our home. And but when we were in, you know, we got the curtains and blinds done. I spoke about that in the last episode. And just a few bits and pieces, you know, we had door handles that had just fallen off for whatever reason. You know, there's little nooks and crannies that you want to get into and make right, as well as, you know, moving all of your things in. But now that we're in, it is fantastic. And I was a little bit nervous about what that would feel like because I did love our location, our previous location in South Yarra. I love running the tan. I love the cafes, like, you know, three doors from my house. I love the amenity. You know, I almost didn't mind hearing the ding of the tram all the time or the roar of the trains. Like, I just love that feeling of complete cosmopolitan living. And we've moved out. It's literally about a 10-minute drive from where we were previously living. But it just feels more residential. Like, I open my window and I hear like the rustling of the trees and birds, and I'm like, wow, like this is a real shift from 7 years of inner city living. So, but actually, I love it, and I'm quite surprised by that. Don't get me wrong, South Yarra will, you know, and inner city will always have a place in my heart, and who knows in the future where I'll end up. But certainly for now, it is really lovely to, I almost feel more calm because I don't walk out of my place and there's not like people everywhere. It's a little bit more quiet. And certainly for us, having a little bit more space. So we were in a townhouse and previously, which kind of had one main living, kitchen, dining area, which was taken over by the children. I used to joke with my friends that was essentially we live in the children's playroom. That's how it felt. I felt like I was cooking and there's Lego under me and there's toys everywhere and someone's running into me because they're playing chasey around our, you know, smaller area. And so it did feel quite chaotic. And now just having that little bit of extra space and those few extra rooms that the kids can sort of go into, or just that little bit of extra space outdoors, has really provided me with a level of, like, I guess, inner peace in a way that I can escape from my children. You know, wow, this is so new to me. So I so get it when you see those people on Instagram, like, you know, those parents hiding in cupboards or like in the butler's pantry or whatever it looks like, just for a moment of peace. I get that now. I'm like, yeah, actually just having that door that you can shut on them is amazing. So it's been a really exciting testing time in a way as well, because as I said, I tend to get quite unsettled when there's change, but really exciting as well. And finally, I feel like we're in a place where we can just enjoy the space. I mean, there's always things that you want to do and improve on. I mean, I want to redo the kitchen, the bathrooms, but like, I'm kind of like, Leonie, that's you. Just push that idea down for now and just like have a moment to recalibrate. So that's what we're doing. But speaking about recalibrating, so as I mentioned in some earlier episodes this year, I, towards the back end of the last year, really struggled from a perspective of feeling like I was trying to do too much, which often is the story of my life, but, you know, and also being pulled in every direction. And I'm sure everyone listening can attest to that, right? Like, you can't, sometimes it's hard to even really focus on the one thing because your attention's often being pulled, whether that's towards the children or a job or a hobby or a, you know, something that you're interested in, or, you know, it just feels often that there aren't enough hours in the day. And so I finished the back end of last year just feeling completely fried. And I then over the summer break reflected and just went, yeah, I don't want to be doing that again. I don't want that feeling again. And so I actually just straight away, one of the first weeks back from holiday break in the summer, so in January, I went and got the mental health plan, and I decided to go back to therapy and just do a couple of sessions, perhaps to, you know, although I felt internally that I could reflect on my behavior and the way in which I was conducting my schedule, etc., that was causing me to feel the overwhelm, the anxiety, and all of the things. Sometimes I find it can be helpful to get that third party's perspective. And I've been very open on this podcast in sort of admitting to a lot of sort of mental health challenges that I've had in different milestones of my life, from the, you know, when I had pre and postnatal depression. Prior to that, I did see a therapist in, I think it was mid-20s, after a pretty severe breakup. And so Actually, I speak about that in the very first episode of this whole podcast, 130 episodes ago. I can't believe it. We're on 130 at the moment, where I just sort of discuss my life prior to children and this one pretty big breakup that I had with someone that I at the time thought I was going to end up with. So I think at that point, I definitely needed that support. So although this wasn't sort of a monumentous moment, I did feel as though, no, I'm going to really prioritize me this year and I'm going to get onto things. So I actually started seeing someone, and I feel I need to give you all the intel of the words of wisdom that they've provided, because it might help you too. You know, I appreciate that everyone has different circumstances, but fundamentally, I think as parents, yeah, we often do go back to that feeling of, gosh, it's a lot, you know, what we're trying to do. I mean, it's amazing. We've got these beautiful families with these beautiful children, and we feel grateful every day. But there's that shadow side of it, which is, wow, there's a lot that I'm now responsible for, and I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed by that. So one tip from my therapist, and I feel like I could easily do like a few solo eps on like tips from Leonie's therapist. So watch this space. But one tip that I had, which I've just implemented now, and it might be helpful for you too, is basically when I explained to her that I was feeling really overwhelmed about last year and didn't want to repeat those behaviors and you know, fill my schedule and not exercise for 6 months and all of those things, and I just felt a little bit overwhelmed by everything, she suggested something that she had actually implemented herself 12 years ago and still does every single day. And that is, it is journaling, but kind of a little bit more deliberate. I've always loved journaling, and I always turn to journaling when I've got so much in my head that I'm trying to work through that I just need to write it all down and I can get to the crux of what it is that I'm trying to achieve or trying to decide on or whatever. And I try to, on the mornings that I am not doing drop off and I go wake up and go straight to work, I work quite early in the mornings in construction, I like to get to my desk and I sit down and I try to meditate for 3 to 5 minutes, and then I try to journal and set an intention. So when she mentioned journaling to me, I thought, okay, this could be on my wavelength. What she said was, there is actually scientific proof that if you jot down, call it 3 things that you're grateful for, you know, daily, you can rewire your brain to start identifying things throughout your day that you're grateful for versus that you feel overwhelmed, anxious, overcome by. Yeah, because all of a sudden you're starting to look for the good things. And again, she's not the first person to tell me about gratitude journaling. In fact, I feel like I did that for a number of years prior, on and off, but I'd sort of dropped out of it. But I thought that was really interesting. So she said rewiring, because your brain will start looking for these good things, rather than what we often tend to do is that we get stuck in the negative or the overwhelm or the, you know, the shadow side. So, you know, think about it, even when you're considering buying a car and you've got this one car in mind, and as you're driving along, because you have that car in mind, what do you see all over the road? That one car, right? Similar sort of thing. So she said, with your journaling practice, I get all the jargon out of my head. I often do that. And I often do like to set an intention for the day. So I almost think about my day, you know, as it's going to happen. And I think, okay, in the morning, I'm going to do this, by lunchtime, hopefully this, and then I'll have to pick up the kids. And then, you know, I kind of reflect on what it is that I've got going on. And then I think about how I want to feel. So often I'll give myself 3 words like grounded, calm, and focused. I'll write that down. But then she said, this is now what the therapist was recommending, 3 things that you're grateful for in the moment. And one thing I used to find was, I got a bit over it because I was like, oh, I'm just saying the same thing. Like, I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful because I went for a run. Like, you know, and it's like the next day, well, yeah, I'm still grateful for my kids. Like, so, you know, I was saying to her, like, it didn't really work for me. But she's like, I think the thing you've really got to do is think about in this moment. I mean, we are all grateful for those big things, but in this moment, what are you really grateful for? And it might be you know, when I wrote it out this morning, I reflected on how I was last night with the kids, and I felt as though we did a really good bedtime routine. I didn't have to yell. They didn't drive me up the wall, and I'd actually prepped them because the night before they'd been a nightmare trying to get to sleep. So the following day I said, look, mummy doesn't want to have to yell before bed. Can we please, what's going to happen when I put you in bed? What do we do? Good night, mum. Good night, dad. That's right. That's what we're going to do. So we're going to do that tonight and everyone's going to be really happy. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then at lunchtime, I'd be like, so, you know, with bedtime routine tonight. So sometimes I actually sort of preempt it with my children so that by the time we get to that bedtime routine, they're kind of like, okay, I mean, it doesn't always work, but sometimes like last night, they're like, okay, we've practiced this. We're going to be good. So they actually went to bed quite well. And we had a really good day where I think I really didn't yell at them much, which, like, you know, is an achievement, you know, for, I think, for most parents. So I wrote that down this morning. I was like, I was grateful for the bedtime routine. Now, tomorrow's is not probably going to be the same, right? So the point is, you really want to be thinking about in the moment, what are you grateful for, like, right now? And even if it's the smaller things, even better, she said, you know. So she says the gratitude. And then she also says, write down something that you've learned, right, at that day. And she said she loves this because often what she's finding is that she'll go through her day and she'll just be more aware of opportunities to learn. So for me, you know, there's, I think about, like, and again, the smallest things. I may have done a podcast interview with someone and they said something that I found pretty profound. And I think, far out, that's awesome. So I'd write that down. Or, I don't know, my children drove me up the wall and then I go, wow, I've learned that I get really triggered when they do this, you know. So writing down what you've learned. And then lastly, she says, writing down a kind act that you've done. I thought that was really beautiful because I was like, wow. She goes, then you'll be more inclined to do kind acts. And she said, obviously, psychologically, we know that if we are kind to others, we in turn receive the benefit, right? Because you feel really good. They are happy, that other person's happy. It's mutually beneficial. So why not try to be more kind? And I've noticed that because I've been doing this probably for the last couple of weeks. And I will sort of go out of my way now to sort of say, you know, really look the person who's giving me my coffee, or for example, in the eye and say, thanks so much, you know, have a great day. Or if they say have a great day, I'll look at them and be like, you too. You know, just like the littlest interactions now, I'm definitely more mindful of because I'm like, I just want to be kinder, I guess, or, you know, rather than always whizzing past the everyone who comes past me, you know. And that's what it can be like, because we're particularly as parents, we're so distracted. Like, you know, someone hands you something, you're like, yeah, thanks, and the kids are pulling at you and you're half focused on them, but then you really want to get back to Instagram because you saw something pretty cool on that, but then, you know, you look, yeah, there's always so many things that could pull us away that we're not really even focused on what is happening right in front of us. So I thought that was pretty cool. So three tips: the gratitude, the what you've learned, and your kind act. So she said she started doing it because she's the science says that after 21 days it becomes habitual. Like, generally you can break out of certain cycles. So for example, if you've been focused a lot on overwhelm and negativity, you do a practice like this for 21 days, then generally the feelings of overwhelm and negativity will reduce. So she said she'd just do it for 21 days to see what's up. She did it for 21 days. It's now 12 years later and she still does it because she said she just feels she gets so much out of it. And I thought, well, hell, why not give it a whirl? So there's been that aspect of just being, I guess, more mindful of the way I want to show up in the world, something I certainly wasn't doing at the back end of last year. And I guess the only other thing I've looked to tweak more recently is actually, again, we talk about self-care, whatever that looks like for you, and making time for it. You know, it's just such a buzzword and we talk about it all the time. And I laugh because I say it to people and then I never do it myself. But this year I have really tried to, make a bit more time in my schedule. And for me, that means actually putting it in my schedule. And often it will be sort of, for me, because my schedule's a bit warped, unlike many other people who might work more rigid hours, like a corporate jobs, 9 to 5 or whatever. For me, I'm up quite early at 5-ish in the morning and I've done a lot of my work before lunchtime and then things like that. So I just sort of push my day right earlier and then I'm in bed earlier. So by about 2 o'clock, I've been really trying, before pickup, been trying to either take that time to go for a walk with a friend. That's when I might do a podcast interview like the one I'm doing now, or, you know, a recording to you guys, or I don't know, something that makes me feel happy so that when I then go and pick up the kids, I'm in sort of, I'm feeling refreshed and ready for them. I don't get it right all the time, but as much as I can, if I can even try to get that half an hour or hour in before pickup 3 times a week, I feel like I've done pretty well. It's certainly much better than I was doing last year. So, and I've also just minimized the stress that I was putting on myself to exercise every day. I feel like now if it's a walk with a friend for 30 minutes before pickup, then that's fine. I think previously I was really like, oh, well, unless I'm lifting heavy dumbbells or unless I'm running, like it doesn't count really. Whereas now I'm like, as long as I'm doing something that makes me feel happy, then that's my thing for the day. And that's got to be good enough. And so, yeah, I've certainly noticed it's given me the opportunity to slow down, which is, again, my biggest life lesson because I go at a million miles an hour. But, you know, and also to be less reactive just in general. And I think if we take the time to kind of look at the way in which we're operating and look at the way in which we're spending our time and look at the way in which we're feeling day to day, you might be sitting here listening to this going, yeah, well, I feel really fantastic. If you do, all power to you. Keep doing what you're doing. But for those of you who are sitting there going, oh, yeah, could feel better, which, let's be real, would probably be most people. I think it's very difficult to maintain a very elated state for a long period of time. Life happens. But, you know, it is, I just hope that maybe this episode can be a reminder to you that we are effectively in control of, you know, the way in which we want to show up in the world. We obviously have things that we have commitments to and time restrictions on, like work, for example, if that's you, or we've got certain activities for the kids that we've got to attend. So there's sort of restrictions within our day, but definitely still there's an opportunity for us to, yeah, really look at ourselves and go, and our days, and go, what can we do differently? And even if it's the smallest tweak, certainly better than nothing. And that small tweak over a frequent period can make all the difference. So we are in school holidays now, and we are going to do a little mid-season break. So next week we will not be on the air, but we will be coming back to your ears hot and ready soon after that. So in the meantime, check us out on Instagram. We're pretty live there. It's at Parenthood Pod. And yeah, we'll see you when we get back from break.